afternoon, everybody. As we know, tomorrow we are going to commemorate Asara B'Teves, which is a day on which we're supposed to give pause to consider Churban Yerushalayim and the state of the Jewish people in Galus today. We have a minug on every public fast day throughout the year that we lay not only by Shachris, but we also do Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. In addition to the laying that we do specifically for a Tainus Tzibur, we also read by Mincha a Haftorah from the Navi Yeshaya, which is meant for us to contemplate and to think seriously about some personal introspection and about Tshuva. So I want to focus on one of those psukim that we will say tomorrow on the fast day in the Haftorah. We read from the Navi Yeshaya, Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, velo darkechem derachai. The way that human beings think, the way that we reason, the way that we analyze and understand events in the world is not at all similar to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, considers and deals, so to speak, with our world. So I saw a beautiful insight of Rav Shimshon Pinkus, and he writes the following, Pasuk zeh mi'od muvan lanu. He says, this Pasuk makes a lot of sense. We understand that our way of thinking is not at all in line with the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval lemaisa, as much as we say it, and as much as we mention this Pasuk, Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, Einenu ma'aminim bo. We don't really believe it. What does he mean? Anachnu choshvim, we as human beings think, Shehamabat shel ha'adam al ha'olam hazeh, zeh ha'emes. We think that our perspective is the way that really is the reality. We think that the way we see things is the absolute truth, is the balanced and correct perspective and the accurate view of all that goes on. Darko shel ha'adam hi, we know as human beings that the way that we internalize events around us is, Shemashuhu hurgal bo zeh ha'emes. You look at very different communities and you say to yourself, who is considered to be extreme and who is considered to be moderate? So we all assume that we are the focal point. We all assume that our community is the one that is doing things in a tempered manner, and everybody to the right of us is totally extreme, and they're completely living in an inappropriate manner, and everybody to the left is too much the other way, and we are striking the perfect balance, but everything else around us seems to be wrong in either direction. And he says, Aval be'emes, the truth is, Mabateinu al ha'olam, our perspective on the world is eino mishakev klalas hamatzius. It does not at all reflect and it does not speak at all to the reality of what's going on around us. Niva erasa anyan. He says, let me explain what I mean. For example, he writes, you look out the window and you have a little 6-7 month old baby that you're holding in your arms, also looking out the window. What I see when I look out the window from a busy street, I see buildings, I see cars, I see businesses, I see trucks, I see industry, I see all different kinds of people that are going different places. I see the mailman who's carrying a bag and it's clear what he's going to do. I see a mother carrying a child, it's clear what she's going to do. I see as an adult many different things when I look out of a window, and that is the way I internalize the view and the picture of what it is that I'm seeing through the window. The young child who's sitting on my lap also looks out that same window, but doesn't see what I see. And that young child, all they see is a color brown and a color purple, and they see a person, but they don't exactly understand what the people are doing. They don't understand that this building represents a tremendous industry. They don't understand that that truck is supposed to be representative of all of the bagels that are about to be brought to the bagel store, or the pizza man that's bring. They don't understand everything that they see out there, but they both see the same thing. And therefore, says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, it means that is the same way that we look at the world. Yes, it's true. We might be seeing the same picture as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it might be true that everything you see is even correct. But you don't get to see the entire understanding of what stands behind that picture. And therefore, he writes, Mashal zeh melamdeinu she'adam yachol lahabit b'tmuna. You can look at a picture, ulemaisehu b'chlal lo ro'eh ma yesh b'tmuna. You don't see at all what the picture represents. You might be seeing everything, and you might even have an accurate perspective. Aleinu ladas, shema she'anachnu ro'im einenu mishakev klal ha'samatzias. One does not have a complete clarity of vision when you see a picture in this world. How can I bring myself to have a better understanding with no ambiguity for what it is that's out there in the world? And to that, he says, the Pasuk tells us the answer is, Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. The only way to get clarity in the world that we live and to have a deeper understanding of the vision that we see in front of us is Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. By following the guidebook that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, that is the only way, the one and only way, to get a clarity of vision. Adam shemabit al ha'olam derech ha'or shel ha'torah. If you look at the world through the lenses and through the perspective and the background of what the Torah means, Raku Yachaliros es Hamatzias Kefishahu. And here he goes into a discussion of what does it mean, Kilo Machshavosai Machshavosechem, Velo Darkechem Derachai. The Ribbono Shel Olam is living, so to speak, on a totally different plane, on a totally different level of understanding. And the only way to even tap into that understanding, even though we see the same picture, is if a person is willing to say, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or I'm going to follow the rule book that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put out for us to understand the perspective of the world that we inhabit. This manifests itself, this understanding of Lo machshavosai machshavoseichem manifests itself in so many different ways throughout our lives. Not only in the way in which we envision the cycle of life, you know, sometimes perhaps we wonder, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do things this way? We would have done things differently if it were left up to us. I don't have life looking the way I wanted or expected it to look. I don't have the children that I thought I would have or expected to have. I don't have the wife or the children or the family or everything else, the job. Lo machshavosai machshavoseichem is on a base level, on that level. But also, even more than that, when we envision the Geula itself, on Asara B'Teves, we think not only about the Churban, but we also think about what it is that we look forward to. Like the Rambam says, quoting the Navi Zechariah, in the days of the Geula HaAsida, in the days when we will have a Beis HaMikdash, obviously we will no longer be commemorating these days of Yemei Evel and Churban, the day of Asar B'Teves and Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz will turn into Yemei Sason V'Simcha, Ma'adim Tovim. That's what the Navi says, and the Rambam quotes it LaHalacha. So when we think about a Geula itself, which is what we're supposed to be thinking about in these days of Yemei Evel, it's something that reminds us as well of Lo Machshavosai Machshavoseichem. What I mean by that is the following. In the 1800s, there were major discussions in the Jewish community in Europe about Shivas Tzion, about the return of the Jewish people to their land, and what right do we have, or perhaps do not have, to return to Eretz Yisrael. And many, many different Gedolim weighed in on this issue in many different forums. Some biksav, some wrote about it, and some spoke about it. Among those great luminaries of the time was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Valojna Yeshiva, who was known as the Netziv. Reb Soloveitchik was a family member of the Netziv, and the Netziv wrote a number of public letters to the community as a whole about what his feelings were about the Shivas Tzion movement. And he brings this famous story of Moshe Rabbeinu that we're about to begin next week. And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was singled out, was chosen as per the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He handpicked, he selected Moshe Rabbeinu by the snet. The Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu refuses, and he challenged it, and he resisted, and he really doesn't want to have a part in being the one to save the Jewish people. Not because he doesn't like them, but he says, Lo ish devarim anochi, and his humility gets in the way, and he has a whole bunch of reasons why he says that he should not be the one chosen to lead the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Now writes the Netziv, what is the ultimate? Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to go because, Hein lo ya'aminu li, V'lo yishma'u b'koli. I don't want to go because they won't believe me and they won't listen to me. Ki yomru lo nira elecha Hashem, because they're going to say, knee-jerk reaction, somebody comes, we've been oppressed here in Egypt for years, for generations, suddenly somebody shows up, we don't know who he is. Lo ya'aminu, lo yomru, lo ki yomru, because they will say, lo nira elecha Hashem, there's no way that God appeared to you, that can't be. How can you be the Moshiach Shal Yisrael? Writes in Netziv, what did Moshe Rabbeinu mean in this comment where he says, I don't want to go because they won't believe me and they won't trust that God spoke with me. And I'm reading from the letter that he wrote to the Jewish community in Europe, and I think it's as relevant today as it was 100 years ago. V'adai lo hiskaven Moshe ki Yisrael lo ya'aminu klal b'geula. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't mean that the Jewish people are not anticipating a geula. He didn't say that they're not going to trust me on that. Shaharei osahayim mevakshim. Do you know how many times the Jewish people were asking and begging and requesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save them? Of course they're going to believe somebody comes and gives them hope. Of course they're going to believe that that person is really perhaps a part of the geula process. Ella, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's concern? Not that they won't believe in a geula, but rather, lo ya'aminu lo. Ki Hashem Shalachu. They're not going to believe that He is the one to go about doing this incredible job of saving the Jewish people. Why? Mipnei Shemo Shalahaya Mukar Kagada Batara. Our image, our fantasy, our dream of who the Savior of the Jewish people is going to be is not Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, he doesn't look like the great old Zayda Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. After all, writes the Netziv, Lo hayamukar b'kedusha v'chassidus. Do you think he was a holy person? Who can mistake Moshe Rabbeinu for being a holy person at the time? In his youth, writes the Netziv, he grew up at Paltin Shalparo. You're growing up in the palace of the enemy. You're growing up being raised by a father like that. Not only that, he says, Asak b'chachmas chitzonius. Can you believe it? Moshe Rabbeinu studied secular studies. This is the one who's going to come and save us? We can't believe it. This is not what we ever imagined. This is not the vision, the picture that we have of who the Mashiach is going to be. Dibar Mitzris, not only did Moshe Rabbeinu study foreign languages, but he also spoke Egyptian. He didn't even speak Hebrew. Not only that, Hayalavush Kimitri. He was wearing the clothing that identified him as an Egyptian. He wouldn't even identify with the Jewish people, so much so, Ad Shemenos Yisrael Chashvu L'Ish Mitzri. He goes to a foreign country, and the first people that he bumps into are the daughters of Yisro, and they actually mistake him for an Egyptian. Al-Kain Chashav Moshe, and therefore Moshe says, you know what? Aaron Kedosh Hashem, my great holy brother Aaron, Shahaya Navi Od B'Mitzrayim, my brother is already giving prophecy in Egypt. Everybody knows him. Hu Haroi Lioshliach Hashem Ligol Es Alma Yisrael. He's the one who should be. You know why? Because people are going to believe that. No one's going to believe that I was the one that God chose. Everything that I have in my background seems to fly against the vision and the picture of what we think Mashiach should look like. V'nana shalkach, says the Netziv, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because of that thought. Ki be'emes ein l'chavos dea es Hashem. God didn't ask for your opinion. If I decided that I'm going to choose the person who is the right one as the candidate to be the one to save the Jewish people, it is not your business. And there, writes the Netziv, is what it means, ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem. Doesn't just mean in the way that our lives run and the way we do things and the way things seem to be leveled out in our world and it doesn't always seem to be even and it's sometimes unfair in our vision. Not only that, but he says in the way that a geula will unfold also is lo machshavosai machshavoseichem. It is not the person who you may have thought should be the Moshiach Shal Yisrael. It is Moshe Rabbeinu who doesn't seem to have anything going for him, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to choose you with your Egyptian clothing, with all the secular college that you went to, with growing up in the home of Paro, and with everything else, with the Ish Mitzri that you seem to represent, you're going to be the one and not the obvious choice of Aaron HaKohen. Go explain it. We don't have a way of explaining it, but says the Netziv, that's what the Navi means, lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, velo darkeichem dirachai. So there were many in the lifetime of the Netziv who said, how can it be that the secular Jews are going to be the ones to lead the charge to Shivas Tzion? Does this make any sense? This is never the vision that we had. We expected Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chasam Sofer and all the great Gedolim of Europe to be the ones to lead us into this time of Mashiach, into this time of Geula. Really, it's going to be these people? So the Netziv then wrote a second letter, not just the one that he wrote about Moshe Rabbeinu. He writes again, let's not forget Jewish history. He says, Ezra HaSofer, who tried to galvanize the Jewish people to come back in the times after the Bayis Rishon was destroyed. He was living in Galus Bavel. He tries to get everyone to come back and do the mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz once again. And he says it was a pretty bad attempt. Ezra HaSofer really was not so successful in getting people to come back. And it says, after all of his work, who does he bring back? He brings Mikol Sug B'nei Adam. He brings all kinds of Jews back. Number one, he has Gedolei Torah V'Yirei Hashem. He has some people who are God-fearing Jews, but he has many others. Me'osam ha'nashim nosim nashim nachrios. He has many Jews who are intermarried, who are the ones who lead the charge to come back with Ezra HaSofer. Asher hayu mergalim b'chilul Shabbos, writes in Netziv, these people were intermarried, they knew nothing about Shabbos. Lo yadu es ha'Torah klal, they knew nothing about the mitzvahs. They hear that Ezra wants to lead a charge out to go and have the Jewish people fight for something. You know what? We'll go. Not because we have any Zionistic feeling, not because we care, but because, why not? Let's fight along with Ezra HaSofer, writes in Netziv. Did that take away at all from the movement of Shivas Tzion in the days of Ezra? Did that take away at all from the ultimate groundwork being laid for the Bayis Sheni to be built? And therefore, writes in Netziv, Kein aleinu lehisorer lekol ritzon Hashem, hanishma miktsas haolam v'yad katseyu. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ringing in the entire world, says the Netziv. What does it matter who's leading the charge? You're going to tell me, therefore, we shouldn't go along with it. Therefore, we shouldn't recognize that there's a geula here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally, ki kvar ratza Elokim es ma'asecha, that God wants you back and He's willing to take you back to inhabit the land of Eretz Yisrael, says the Netziv. Just look back in history and you'll understand that that's not a question. Ah, you'll ask, how could it be? This is not the vision that we had. The answer is, lo machshavosai, machshavoseichem. It's not your job to figure out why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it this way. We don't understand it. But God works on a totally different playing field than we human beings do. And God's understanding and God's way of doing things might be very different than we may have envisioned a geula to play out. Let us just quote a third letter of the Netziv, where he writes also along this point, and he says, we have all these questions. Ein lanu lishav elachkar. People say, do you think you're so much greater than the days of the great Gedolim that came before you? How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu never allowed them to go back? So he says, what about those who were Megurashei Svarad, the people who were involved in the Spanish Inquisition and all of the terrible tragedies throughout the many millennia of Jewish history? How come God never allowed them to go? L'havienu lidei kach, you're going to say, you think you're so arrogant, you're so great, greater than everybody else who came before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you and he never allowed them. He says, b'chi achshar dara, do we think we're really that impressive that we have the right to go back while nobody else has had the right until this point? He says, the answer is, hanistaros la'ashem alokeinu. You're right. We don't really understand why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow our generation to return, and yet Shivas Zion never took root in the 1700s and the 1600s. Why was that something that was never allowed? He says, Hanistaros la'ashem alokeinu. True, but the rest of the pasuk is, Haniglos lanu ulavanenu. That which we don't understand, leave for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do his job. But Haniglos, that which is revealed to us, we have an obligation to understand it and to study it. And he says, Acharishanis orer harayon bekerav Yisrael. The Nigla, that which we see that the Jewish people have galvanized once again to return to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, that's not Nistaros, that's not in the realm of God's hidden plan, that's right in front of our eyes. And that, says the Netziv, we have an obligation to open our eyes and understand and appreciate that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us today. He wants us to invest, he wants us to think about, and he wants us to fully understand what a generation of Geula and Mashiach is really about. Don't worry about the vision and the image that you always dreamt of, that you always thought, how could it be, and why is it so, and is our generation really worthy when so many others were not? That's Hanistaros La'ashem Elokeinu. Lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, velo darkechem derachai. But the answer is, just as Moshe Rabbeinu is the leader who is chosen for the entire Jewish people, and he is the ultimate leader of the Jewish people, and it's something that came totally unexpectedly. Nothing in Moshe Rabbeinu's pedigree seemed to have built up to that moment, to that choice, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have my own plan, I have my own idea, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the appropriate choice, and Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately was the one to lead the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, as the Mashiach ben David will once again lead us out of our galus, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'amen.